Welcome to the Subtle Reformation Podcast. We're so glad that you can join us. I'm one of the hosts, Ben.
And I'm Stephen. And we're really glad that you've joined us to listen to us muse about formation and what it means for who and how we can be in this world.
Well, welcome back to the Subtle Reformation. We're so glad that you are listening with us today. Today we are joined by Stephen, Julia, Tom, and myself. And we're going to be recapping a little bit of the contemplation experiment that we have been undertaking. Obviously, if you were listening last week, you'd have heard that we've been doing 10 minutes of contemplation a day and encouraging you guys, our listeners, to do the same thing. And today we're going to unpack a little bit of what we've been going through. How we found the experience, but then also going to have a look at what's next for us to do on this journey. So let's get into it today. I'm going to ask Tom, I'm going to kick it off with Tom, change of pace a little bit. Tom, how about you just share a little bit of how you found this journey, what's been going on for you, any insights or reflections you've had as you've engaged with the 10 minutes of contemplation each day?
Yeah, quarantine for me has been the worst that it has. Like, I don't think I've felt the effects and the shadow side of what quarantine has been more than in this last week. Like, it sucked. It's really sucked for me. The 10 minutes a day has kind of been, I don't know. It's almost been necessary. I've probably had like two or three days that I've missed. For some reason, every single time I've gone out to do the 10 minutes as well, I find I never have my like journal on me. I've only got three recorded reflections. The other times I'm like sitting out somewhere and I'm like, oh, I should just do my 10 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, I'll just use my phone to record it, which is just shocking. But I much prefer having my journal when I do it. So yeah, I think I missed about two sessions. And I found it really interesting. I think the days that I, like some of the days that I did it, yesterday in particular, it almost felt like 10 minutes wasn't enough. Because for me, I just feel like there's almost these gross build-ups that happen for me, at least with quarantine. Like, I've just felt a lot of things. And so taking those 10 minutes has almost been that opportunity for me to address or just like allow myself to acknowledge those things that have kind of built up for me that have kind of made it really tough. The things that, you know, I'm trying to cope with. And so, I guess I can just create space to become aware of those things. So, yeah, it's been interesting. I definitely, like, have needed the 10 minutes this week. So, like, I'm looking forward to continuing with it. But, yeah, it's been a really hard week. Really struggled, to be honest.
Yeah. I just want to ask a couple of little questions. You said two things that kind of stood out to me. One, you said you'd rather take your journal because when you take your phone, it's shocking. What do you mean by that? Obviously, it's not something that scares you, but like, what about the phone going with you is so negative compared to the journal?
Well, I think that's a good question. With my journal, when I write down the way that I kind of structure it, is I do my points, the things that kind of come really clearly to my mind that I need to get off my mind. I write them down. And when I look at my journal reflection for the day, because I also kind of just do like a little decompress afterwards and just kind of like talk about how I'm going and the things that I'm feeling and let that flow a bit, I can kind of see it there with my reflection. But when I just take my phone, like there's kind of this sense of like, I know that the note that I'm taking, I'm never going to see again. I know that it's got no place that it's preserved or kept that makes sense. I kind of have like the worst note system on the Android phone. As soon as I save it, it goes nowhere in particular on this list of hundreds of notes I have. And so to find it ever again will be the worst. And when I do find it, it won't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think when I do have my journal, it's kind of, it's in a place that I can go back to,
yeah.
A place that it's kind of surrounded with a little bit of context. And so to look back and to reflect, it kind of, I can get why I'm feeling, like what goes with those feelings, what goes with those thoughts.
Yeah, great. The second question I had was, you said 10 minutes wasn't enough sometimes to deal with the gross buildups. So when you're talking about that, are you saying is in, you feel like you're just starting to work through some stuff and then you're like, oh, my 10 minutes is up. Is that what you're saying, or are you meaning something else?
I think there was probably one day where I got to the 6 minute mark and I just wanted the 4 minutes to be over. And so I started trying to focus on my breathing or doing the Lord's Prayer in my head, sounding it out, which were really good tools for me to kind of keep my mind at peace, occupied. But mm-hmm. other than that, like yesterday, for example, I got to almost 9 minutes. And yeah, almost like this feeling of, I need more time to feel the things that I'm feeling, to take space. And they're like, the build up for me are something like, I feel really low and I feel really grumpy or irritated and I don't know why. And then I take kind of 10 minutes out and I start to feel this sense of like addressing that. And then when the timer goes, I'm kind of like, I have so much more space. I feel like I need to give myself today. I just happened to time it right before I had something on, so I couldn't do more than that.
Yeah, sure. No, that's good. They're great reflections. Perfect, Tom. Well, let's check in with Julia. Julia, do you want to share a little bit of what this journey's been like for you over the last week? How have you found the 10 minutes? What's been going on for you?
So I missed two as well. In fact, it was the classic was the day after we set this, that next day, like literally the whole day did not even come across my mind or anything. So just, you know, that's the confessional, which is just, by the time I realized it was very late at night and it was kind of too late. So anyway, that the rest of it though, I think the thing, I mean, I've never done this before. So part of it was like, is this like just basically my note taking is just this random selection or thing of all sorts of stuff, from being distracted by noises to you know, a song. Like at one stage I'm thinking Bohemian Rhapsody. I see a little silhouette of a man, you know, like in my mind, just came into my mind. But I think what I was really kind of amazed by was that I actually, as I was sitting for the 10 minutes, I guess because I've been on this journey of contemplative practices of some description for quite, you know, for a number of years, I actually found it, my response to it, entering into it, was really different to what it would have been many, many years ago. I actually was kind of looking forward to it, and then it was like my chance to just slow down and breathe. And I was quite amazed how settled my mind was. However, I want to give a disclaimer to that. A few months ago, if we had have been doing this exercise, because I relate to Tom about lockdown, you know, I was in such a, you know, mental anguish state. So I feel like it's sort of hit at a time where I've kind of reconciled a bit more of that. But I think the other thing it did for me was it started to help me just notice my thought patterns in the day. Like, you know, other times that I would, because there were definitely times, like, I would like to say that it's all really nice reflections and things, but then I started catching myself having moments where I was, you know, listening to someone and feeling envy over them, like, you know, and my mind, I think I was just picking up more of that kind of thought patterns that you know, when you catch yourself thinking stuff that you're like, oh, there's that kind of, you know, I'll hear something and then I'll start judging it or assessing the person in my mind. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think there's some really cool things that you brought out and shared. I think some of our listeners who may be trying this for the first time, how would you describe, I guess, what's the question I'm really asking? It's more, how did you find it when you had some of those things pop in your head? I know you were like, oh, why have I got Bohemian Rhapsody in my head? Was that something that was like...
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, great. I love the song. It's fantastic. That's why. But was it for you disorientating? Did it make you go, am I doing this right? Did you have any of those kind of doubts and questions? And I guess, how did you work through it and keep going?
Yeah, and I think it was more just because it's such a random, like literally, if anyone read the notes, what I'm writing down in my journal, it's like such a bizarre, because I was looking out the window too, so I'm not sure whether that's helpful or not.
Yeah.
Because then then my train of thought goes to the child walking past, or the flowers, or the birds, or the dog. So I just have, you know, all these weird and wonderful. But no, it didn't so much. It didn't disturb me or bother me. It was just more that, you know, either I was blanking out at times. Like there were a few times where I literally, my mind was blank, like, you know, I mean, peaceful, but just nothing. And then something would come in that, you know, just, it's just so left of center. I think that's, so it was more, I was trying really hard to not create, because what I can tend to do too in my mind is I create almost an interview of myself. I don't know, maybe I'm going nuts. But where I'll sort of, you know, start thinking, oh, I wonder, what do you think about this, Julia? And then I'm answering my own question in my mind.
Yeah, sure.
But I was trying not to do that because I thought actually that's me crafting almost like manipulating my thoughts. For 10 minutes, because again, the danger with someone like me is you go, right, 10 minutes, I've got to have good thoughts, the right thoughts, the, you know, and I see it as like a kind of project of mind control rather than
yeah, sure.
Oh boy,
no, that's good. That's great to share. And I think that'll be...
Did anyone stick to doing it the same time every day?
Yeah, I did.
No.
I dropped it. It just happened whenever.
Yeah. Mine would happen in the same rhythm. So I have a bit of a morning rhythm that I go through. But was it exactly 7:05 each day? No. But was it in my morning rhythm? Yes. So that's kind of how mine sort of fit together. But Stephen, love to check in with you. Hear a little bit about what it's been like for you. Obviously, this is something that you've probably, out of all of us, got a little bit of the most experience with. So what was going on for you this week? Obviously, it's a bit of a different experience doing it during lockdown and stuff like that. There's a few more complexities to what's happening in our lives. But what was the 10 minutes like for you?
So it was quite the surreal experience. So just for our listeners, so Julia, Tom and myself, it's early September 2020 and we are in a part of Australia where we're still in what they call stage 4 lockdown. So that means we're not allowed to leave our homes. We can, the faces they're pulling. And we can only leave our home for an hour for exercise. So this is, we've been doing this mostly since March of this year. We had a few weeks reprieve, but then there was a significant spike in numbers and then we were back in lockdown. So that's the context. There are five people in our home. So we're in a three-bedroom home, five people, three children, two adults. Trying to find space and time is just insane in a house, because it's not it's not a small house, but it's not a big house either. And my goal was to do it in the mornings, and that plan crumbled faster than a South American junta. and all of a sudden, I found the only time I could find was the 10 minutes just before I went to sleep. So that would have been 9:30, anywhere through to 11, just depending on what was happening.
Yeah.
And a couple of times, on two occasions, I was sitting there on my bed just trying to do my 10 minutes, and Lisa wandered in. Oh, I shouldn't have said her name. Anyway, my partner wandered in and didn't ask me what I was doing because, you know, we're 7-8 months into lockdown. We're beyond asking each other what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And you know, she would do a couple of things in the room and that made the recording of my notes quite a fascinating exercise. So that's the first thing. That's kind of the preamble.
Yeah, great.
The second thing was, and I don't know if this was what you were talking about, Julia, but there are a couple of things. One was I'm like, I need to do this because I'm a one and we're good people and so I have to do this. And so there was one time it got to about 11 o'clock and I was like, I turned the light off and I was asleep. I stopped reading and I'm like, oh no, 10 minutes. So up, you know, I sat back up in bed quietly in the dark and I kind of did it in the dark in my bed. But yeah, I found myself, you know, about to do something during the day that was not kind, was ugly, and the thought in my head was, if I do this, I'm going to think about this tonight, and in a week's time, I'm going to be talking on air about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. I'm going to behave differently, and I found it profoundly. Affected the way I behaved. And my partner doesn't know that I've been doing this experiment, but if I told her, she'd probably go, oh, that's why you've been different this week.
Yeah, wow.
So I thought, you know, in the spirit of being honest and transparent, that was going on as well. And we also, I feel like, and I hope we explained really clearly, this was not about directing your thoughts. It was just about letting your thoughts out.
Yeah.
And by golly, I found that really hard. I found like in the 10 minutes going, okay, you know, don't go there. Think of, no, hang on, you're not supposed to be controlling. Let it go. And then, you know, I'm letting my mind go. And then I'm starting to ask questions about, and I'm like, oh, hang on. If I ask questions about the things that are coming up in my head, is that control? So in my notes, I've got things like, you know, am I controlling it or am I kind of letting it free flow? This is even before I talk about what actually went on, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the golden discovery on the first day was Google Recorder, this great app where you can just hit record and you've got two screens, you know, your standard audio record, but the other screen is transcript and you hit transcript. And as I speak, it immediately transcribes everything. So the first couple of days are me going, wow, this is amazing. Look at that. And, oh, no, I got that word wrong.
Yeah. So
I've got this transcript of my stream of consciousness. And I found after the initial novelty, because once you observe, you change. Observation changes the thing you're observing. And I'm aware of that. And fortunately, it didn't take too long for me to slip out of, oh, the novelty of observing to I'm actually just doing stream of consciousness. So that's my preamble. So what actually happened? Because I've been doing this for a long time now, close to 20 years, and because, you know, the last 5 years I've been practicing martial arts, I found most of the content is me reflecting on my body, you know, aches and pains or cold or warm or, you know, pleasant feelings in my body or unpleasant, uncomfortable feelings, and sounds as well. One of the things that we often do at the dojo when we have our kind of time at the beginning or at the end is listening to the sounds. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do this before, right? But excuse me. We sort of have a structured meditation where they say, okay, what can you hear? And it can be anything from I can hear the air moving through the, you know, the building through to I can just faintly, just at the very edge of my hearing, hear the cars passing on the road. And then one of the things our sensei often does is he says, can you listen to two sounds at once? And I don't know if you've ever tried that before. trying to listen to two things at once and then trying to listen to three things at once. So yeah, just being aware of all of the sounds. So that was beautiful, just having a moment where I'm not thinking about anything. But then again, going, oh, am I forcing myself to do that? Or actually, no, is that a habit? You know, years of training, I'm just falling into that. And it's interesting because a number of people I know, so I've got some good friends and colleagues who are younger than me, whose hair is fully gray, like almost white.
Yeah.
And my sideburns are quite gray, but like my hair's like, there's hardly
quite dark.
Yeah. My dad still, you know, has a go at me claiming I dye my hair, but I don't. And I attribute that to contemplation. Like I just, you know, whilst I can be reasonably highly strung, largely I don't care, but that's a lot of, you know, that's years of training myself.
Yeah.
Not to care. So that was interesting. There was a lot of, you know, what's going on in my body and the sounds I'm hearing. And my mind is like, it's hilarious. Like I was just going through the transcripts just when you were doing the intro, Ben.
Yeah.
At one point, and you know, sometimes you have a dream and you think, where did that dream come from? And you think about that dream and you go, So one of my dreams this week was I dreamt of this really strange bug.
Yeah, okay.
And I described it in great detail in one of my notes. And then I thought, where did that come from? Like something must have happened. And then I remembered the day before I was in the shower and we've got one of those, you know, luxurious back scratching brushes, right?
Nice.
And it sits on the top rail. So my I'm quite tall, so it's at my height. And I kind of turned around. And I saw an almost microscopic praying mantis. And I remember just watching it in the shower for a couple of minutes. It was just fascinating. Like it would have been like less than a millimeter and a half big.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but so I had to get quite close. And I was just, you know, I was just watching, you know, geez, this sounds very martial arts. Yes, young grasshopper.
Yeah.
and then, of course, it turned up in my dream that night. And when I woke up, I'm like, well, where did that come from? And then later on that day, when I did my 10 minutes, I had these images of this bug that was half what I'd seen in real life and half in my dreams. So as a rule, you can trace back these really strange ideas. But at one point, I found myself thinking about my uncle's beard. And I still to this day can't figure out why. Contemplation. I'm sitting there going, yes, I can feel this in my body and I can hear these sounds of Uncle George's beard. And then like, and in my notes, I'm like, where did that come from? I've got no idea.
Yeah.
And it was like that. It just went from, you know, things that made sense. You know, so I'm working on a project at the moment. An academic project. So, you know, I move from that. And then I go from that to Uncle George's beard. And I'm like, I can't, you know, if someone put a gun to my head and said, you need to explain the connection, I'm dead. I can't explain the connection. So it was all over the shop and it was hilarious. But I think the really interesting observations for me were, here we go. I took some notes too. And the other thing I found myself doing was, I know what we're doing next. I know what we're doing next week. And try, it's like if you've ever done, you know, like a Myers-Briggs or an Enneagram test, right?
Mm.
And you get a result and you go, oh, I don't like that. So you take the test again and you try to figure out, if I answer this question this way, will it give me the type I like?
Yeah.
There was a bit of that going on as well. Like, I know it's coming next. And, you know, I know that at some point we're going to be looking for patterns and, you know, should I try and let my mind randomly, I'm doing things with my fingers, you know, the quotes. Should I try to randomly, you know, think in patterns or, so there was a bit of meta, you know, being in the meta and then going, no, come back down into it. But yeah, the things I did observe was that I'm pretty task focused. Mm. I think about things I need to do or things I didn't do. Or things I did and I felt like I could have done better. Ideas. So task, you know, future forward ideas. I go into the future and my body and sounds. Those were probably the four main things. But it was really only this morning as I was getting ready for this morning's session, I realized this changed me, knowing that I have to, at the end of each day, keep a record.
Yeah.
And then in a week's time, we're going to be talking about this, and I'm going to be, you know, committing this to a recording for posterity.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to behave differently. I just found that hilarious and really dodgy and hilarious.
I think that's great. I do like what you said, though. Like, it is, it does feel different doing this, knowing that we're going to be talking about it, not just amongst ourselves, but with other people, anonymous people that we don't necessarily know who it is, listening in on it. So, yeah, no, they're great. Some great reflections, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Mind if I jump in with a question, Ben? Just quickly. So, Steve, when you were talking about the kind of thoughts that you're transcribing, I'm wondering if we did it slightly differently. I just want to check if the way that I've kind of been doing the 10 minutes is valid, because it has been a little different. I think because I know that I have such like a monkey mind and everything's going to pop in and it's going to be weird and random.
I had several monkeys.
Yeah.
I met some new ones for the first time this week.
I almost wonder if, like, is it okay for me to kind of like try and still my mind with things? Like, I guess I've been doing the, you know, Yahweh. Like in class, we were taught when you breathe in, you say like Yah. And then when you breathe out, you say Wei, which is like the breath of life. Mm. It's like the name for God. Which, so for me, like I would try to do that in order to stop thinking about all these other things.
Yeah.
Or even just doing like the Lord's Prayer, syllable by syllable. Think that to kind of like just try and block out all the weird, like the, you know, the praying mantises and the silhouette of a man and the things like that. I know that are just going to pop into my head. Try and keep it a little more focused. Yeah. What do you think about that?
So my first reaction is, if you did 10 minutes a day, you did it. Like if you turned up,
yeah,
you did it. that's a win. What we wanted to do, particularly for people doing this for the first time, is, and it happens every time, you know, you talk about contemplation, you talk about stillness and silence, and then you go do this. I don't know if you've ever had this experience of me, right? People will ask me a question and I won't answer it because you say something like, let me be crass, okay? Not crass rude, but, you know, like a basic example. Go and find an enemy and have a conversation with an enemy. And then someone says, but what if, and they're asking the question this side of having a conversation with their enemy. And those questions are irrelevant. You're not going to learn anything from those questions. And so I'll often say to people, no, I'm not going to answer that. Go and do the exercise first and then let's have some questions. Yeah. And the questions you get on the other side of an activity are radically different from the questions that you get on this side of the activity, because the questions on this side of the activity are still filled with our patterns and our prejudice and our preconceived ideas. It's the stuff that happens when we behave in a different way, when we do something differently. That's when it gets fascinating and interesting. So, I was really hoping first time practitioners, if you like, would try, is that they would just observe what happens over 10. So don't necessarily try to control it, but the number of times, like it would be, I'm totally making this figure up, right?
I've not
kept any records, but I would say it's probably in the 80-90% range. The first time people do this, they try to control their mind and they have some sort of question about, did I do it right or not?
Mm.
And I'm just happy people give it a crack. And because even in doing that, in for the first time sitting down for 10 minutes and trying to think about what you're thinking, you go, wow, you know, should I be thinking, shouldn't I be at least you're doing it. At least you're becoming. And I think Julia nailed it. So I'm going to quote Julia, quote, I became aware, end quote. I love those statements. You know, I became aware. And then all of a sudden I'm listening. What did you become aware of?
Mm.
So So even if you did approach it, Tom, in a, oh, okay, I've got to vacate, you know, I've got to clear my mind and fill my mind with these sorts of things, all of a sudden we can now have a conversation about, well, what shoulds and oughts live inside of your head? What are the shoulds that say you should be thinking about these things and you shouldn't be thinking about those things? What makes these things right and these things wrong? Because remember back to Pete's episode, spiritual are the unseen influences, the things that tell us, ah, don't do this, it's wrong, or you should do this, it's right. And we begin to see the unseen influences. I'm not sure if that answers your question, mate.
Yeah, it was really nice listening to you say like a lot of those things, because yeah, I think it makes me realize probably that is the control thing, like we were talking about. I think I did do a lot of that controlling, what I'm thinking about in that time. I don't think I did as much just observing of what it is that would just typically be in my mind in that 10 minutes. So yeah, so that's interesting to think about. I am really excited to have the conversation about the shoulds and the oughts and the why we don't allow ourselves to have certain thoughts and things like that.
Well, Tom, whilst we've been chatting, I get a few pop-ups on the other screen over there, and apparently you and I have a coaching appointment on Friday, so we can talk about it then.
Ben, how did you go?
Yeah, great question. I did most of the days. I think I did like 6 at the start. I was just trying something a little bit different. I've got this app called the 1 Minute Pause.
Ooh, but I love apps.
Yeah, but as you do it, which I'd done previously, I'd done in the lead up to all of this, you can unlock a 10-minute pause. And so it's more a guy talking to you and kind of like guiding you through some more reflection. But I thought I'd just try that a little bit at the start of something different, and also so that I could go, hey, if you're new to this sort of stuff, this app, while there's a guy talking to you, there's lots of space for you to kind of linger and think about things. There's a few more like directed topics. So it's more like, hey, what are you worrying about that you need to let go of? Where do you feel distance from God that you could draw near? Like that kind of stuff. So I did that for the first couple of days just to give it a crack. It was interesting. It was good. I found it helpful at times guiding some of those things of like, okay, what am I worrying about? What am I like trying to control? What do I need to let go of? What's not mine to carry, but God's to carry? That sort of stuff, which was good to notice. And then I just did the last few days was just the sitting and being in like the complete silence. And I did 1 with just no timer at all. So I'll be honest, I actually don't know how long I went for, but it could have been 3 minutes. It could have been 20 minutes. I'm not really aware. I left my phone out. I left my Apple Watch out. I left everything just out in the area. And I tried to not be conscious of what the time was before I went out, and so that I couldn't come out and critique myself on whether I didn't do enough.
You were contemplatively nude, bro.
Correct. That's what I was going for. So it was good. And then the other days I just did like the 10 minutes and did some journaling with it all. But I think what stood out for me was one of the things that I did at the end was I was doing what similar to what you were doing, Tom. I have a little just thing that I repeat over in my head. So be still, be hold, be loved. Just kind of repeat that a little bit to give my mind something to think about. But I've also noticed the layers to our thinking, the number of times that it's like I'm repeating this thing kind of over and over again at the top of my mind, and I'm already picking up on some things that I'm thinking underneath it. And so, you know, writing those things down, becoming aware. And I think I noticed similar to you, Stephen, quite task focused. So a lot of the things, it was like, here's something I need to do today, or here's something I just remembered I forgot to do yesterday, or a lot of those sort of things, texts to send, conversations to have, people that are on my mind, those sort of things. And I was just surprised by the volume of thoughts that I would have, you know, or something like I would write them all down, things that seemed to pop into my mind that I became aware of. And then at the end of the 10 minutes, I would tally up how many I had and then average. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, that means I had a thought that came up every, you know, 30 seconds or whatever it was. Right. And even though I was trying to give myself something to kind of hang my thoughts on. It was still surprising how many times things would just break through and come up. So, but I found it, I felt like similar to Tom, that maybe I could have done a little bit more. When I was seeing a counselor like 18 months ago, he kind of invited me to do something similar to this, but for 20 minutes. Mm. And I actually found probably my reflection was, I thought, oh yeah, in 10 minutes, that'd be great. But what must have happened in my time when I was doing it for 20 minutes was the last 10 minutes was where it really started to gain some like traction. And I guess you moved beyond the things that I think I need to do today. And all of a sudden it was like, your brain's like, well, what else do I think about? I've already got my to-do list off my head. And so I noticed that as something that I was like, okay, that's a notice. Like that's a difference that I've noticed from having done it, you know, in the past for a little bit longer. So yeah, there were a couple of the things that I noticed and was working through, thinking about.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether we said this on air or not, but the joke in contemplative circles is, you know, how long each day? And the answer is 20 minutes a day, unless you can't do 20 minutes a day. You know, for whatever reason, you can't do 20 minutes a day, then you need to do an hour that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, 20 minutes is often the recommended for exactly the reasons you named, Ben. You know, that the first 10, it's the, you know, it's the frothy part of the latte. And then after that, it's the, you know, you actually hit the coffee, the real stuff.
So yeah.
The challenge I've found over the years working primarily with young adults is if you say 20 minutes, it's just not going to happen.
No.
So I just say, look, you know, let's just go with 10.
Yeah.
And what, you know, we've discovered over the years is just that, and I'm going to use the word superficial in a dictionary sense, not that people are superficial, but
yeah,
just an encounter with your superficial thinking can be quite profound. Wow. I didn't realize my mind was so full of things.
Yeah. I mean, it's even like Tom said, you know, he's doing 10 minutes and he's having that self-reflection of, oh, I actually probably could have used a little bit more today, but that only happened because he was able to engage at 10 minutes rather than feeling the pressure of like, man, I got to sit here for 20. So it is kind of like a, hey, it's an introduction. You're new to this. 10 minutes is doable. It's easier to set aside time for it. You're not going to get confronted, hopefully, with too much stuff, but it will, I think, stir a little bit of intrigue and, okay, like I felt like I needed more today, or I worked through some stuff today. And then, yeah, you can always increase the time.
Yeah. And Ben, I would be lying if I said that, you know, maybe 10, possibly even 20% of my recorded thoughts don't include things like, is it 10 minutes yet? Is my alarm still working? Oh, I should check my phone.
And then you're disappointed to see you've got 7 minutes left and you're like, oh, great, that was only three.
Yeah, and then and I've also got things like, wow, that was 7 minutes. I thought it was only, you know, 60 seconds or vice versa.
Yeah, so. Or did I just fall asleep? Is that why this is going so quickly?
Well, this app that I was using, it records the pauses between you talking as well. You're like, oh, what happened in that 67 seconds?
yeah, quick power nap. No, that's good.
We mentioned last week, and I'm not asking for specifics. I'm asking for generalities here. We did say that potentially some unpleasant things can arise, and this period straddled Father's Day. So I've mentioned before, I've got a complicated family, and not loads, but some of that came up in my 10 minutes, just finding, you know, the things that you don't attend to mentally or emotionally because you're just so busy. When you're not having to attend to something, they crop up. I was just wondering if was there any unpleasantness for others? Again, not specifics, but unless you want to, but generalities. Did anything crop up for you guys in your time?
Do with Father's Day or just in general?
Oh, just unpleasantness in general.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, it comes back to the, like, I'm personally struggling in quarantine at the moment, just with, you know, we're 5-6 weeks into the highest stage of lockdown. And I think it's taken quite some time for me to give up trying to make it not so bad. Like I'm just starting to, like, it's hitting me. And so I think the unpleasantness that comes up is just those feelings of, like, isolation, those feelings of sadness, those feelings of disconnected from people around me, and dramatizing that to myself. So I think some of those negative things that I'm already feeling, having to allow those things to actually kind of, like, actually really be there and be in my face. Because I like to normally avoid them. I think it's kind of like, well, you know, I can't really avoid that right now. It's right in front of my face, and I'm letting it rear its head.
So, Tom, I found it quite fascinating that you talked about feelings, not thoughts. Did you experience them as thoughts, or did you experience them as feelings, those things?
Yeah, I know you and Ben are very, like the way you talk about it, it's different, because I'm not task-oriented. I think it's all feeling for me. Like, I spend the whole time, like, they almost aren't thoughts, really. Like, I have some thoughts about, you know, like, what's going on with me and the people in my lives. Maybe there's, like, two or three items of to-dos, and they are, like, really, like, I don't mind if I don't think too much about those. But, yeah, I think I've spent, or maybe it's just because of the season that we're in, I think I spend more time kind of decompressing emotionally. I think that's kind of a space where I almost, instead of the thoughts floating around, it's almost like these are the feelings that are coming and going for me.
That's great.
So two, I'm insanely curious now. So when I asked you that question, Tom, Julia Gafford, so I want to ask you in a second, Julia, Ben, you were like, wow, that's fascinating. So maybe we can start with Julia's guffaw, and then we'll come to Ben's. That's fascinating. Julia, explain your guffaws.
Well, when you were talking before about body, how you get in touch with how your body's feeling. So, I don't know all the ins and outs of what it means to be a 7 in the Enneagram, to be honest, but I guess the thing that I'm becoming more aware of is that I can talk a lot about feelings, but I don't actually feel much of my feelings. I think my feelings, I can articulate really well feelings and something of what my body, you know, might be feeling, but to actually get in touch with feelings and what's happening in my body. I mean, someone described once this, they were a thinker, and they said, I have a head and my body carries around my head, my thinking. And I thought, oh, that's so true, because, you know, I've been in spiritual direction sessions where people, you know, the person will ask you, what are you feeling in your body? Or what's your body, how is your body responding? And I honestly, I'm like, it's still slightly disconnected in some ways. So yeah, that's why I was laughing, because I think the question was, I do great. You know, I sound like I'm in touch with my feelings, but to be honest, I don't think I am. So.
Thanks, Julia. Ben, what was your reaction?
My reaction was, it sounded like such an ethereal experience for Tom, just sitting there and just his feelings coming and going. What is he doing?
We're all laughing at what Ben is doing, because we can see
my arms, like, flailing everywhere.
I'm having flashbacks to that 1980s show, The Young Ones.
But so that was part of it. And then I was also thinking, it probably sounds like Tom's on a relatively healthy journey, for particularly in Enneagram 7. I know that for them, there can be quite an avoidance of what they're thinking and feeling, particularly anything uncomfortable and negative, you know, try and spin it into a positive. But it sounds, I just was encouraged by that. I was like, oh, Tom, it feels like you're really trying to lean in and do things that may be counterintuitive or more difficult and confrontational for you. And yet you're really, like, leaning into it. And so I was encouraged by that as well. So both wowed at the fact that you would sit there and just have feelings wash over you, kind of thing. but then impressed as well by just you fighting our tendencies and compulsions. So it's good.
Well, I'd even had, so probably what helped this, so there is a backtrack over, because I totally relate to Tom in this season, and I'd just been putting together a sermon that I did last Sunday digitally because we can't even be together, on lament. So go figure, there's a seven, Enneagram that's joyful and, you know, wants to be victorious and up, and then someone asked me to do a sermon on lament, and I'm like, I think this is God trying to just get me to be more whole. So I must admit, good. I'd already been literally waiting in sorrow and sadness. And so I think this was like last week, sort of going through the experiment was like, oh, it feels like that's maybe what helped settle some of this stuff. But because I love Inside Out, you know, the movie with joy gets matched up with sadness, like it's the worst case scenario for a seven.
It's my marriage.
So I just want to, you know, I guess give a bit of a, you know, that's the background to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a waiting in sorrowful waters, and mm-hmm. then, yeah. So I totally get why, you know, for Tom, it's like that. Because honestly, it's like I've said to people, the description of hell on earth for a seven pretty much is what's happening in Melbourne. I mean, and again, I need to be careful because it's a first world issue, but, you know, just being disconnected from people, from, you know, the energy of being around people, from, you know, getting about doing the stuff that you'd normally do, you know, that's all up there with the worst case scenario. So
when you talked about, you know, seven having to do something on lament. Rowan, who we've mentioned a few times, asked me to do a lecture on joy. I won't tell you what I told him when he asked me to do it. And I had to. It was kind of part of the structure of the course. But I remember he sat through it, and at the end of it, he said, I have no words to describe a pessimist's take on joy. He said that. He said, that was profound. He said, I think you scarred me for the rest of my life. What I forgot to mention was I have just gotten back into the swing of meeting with a spiritual director. And I actually had a spiritual direction appointment in the middle of all of this. Mm. So that was fascinating because it's hilarious, you know, because I do coaching, and you tend to get homework from me if I'm coaching you. And it's hilarious because people, you know, will meet and they'll say, that homework, which I only just did in the last 24-hour period, you know, I did, you know, 29 days, I didn't do anything. And then I realized, oh, I'm meeting with Steve tomorrow. I better do my homework. And I'm like, relax. I do exactly the same thing with my spiritual director.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do quite a bit of work. But yeah, the accountability is a good thing in that respect. Oh, I need to talk to somebody about this. I better do something about it. Because if you do it the day before, that's good. If you're not accountable and you don't do anything about it ever, I mean, give me. I crammed my homework in the last 24 hours over. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
As I look at the Zoom kind of compass this morning, so I'm a one. So we are in the gut or the body center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Julia is in, you know, seven in the head center. You know, Ben, you're an eight in the gut center. Tom, another seven. How did that happen? Two sevens. Tom, a seven in the head center. We don't have any people in the heart center. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to dig into your question there, Tom. Not your question, sorry, your response about feeling things, which kind of sets us up for next week. So we're live. We're like, you'll hear this episode. If you're listening today, we recorded it today. Most of the others we record a day or two, or the earlier stuff in season two. did a whole bunch of pre-recording, but this is live, baby. Well, you know, as live as you can get. So from here on in, again, we want to invite you, again, 10 minutes a day, recording. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a thing that we call detaching and observing. So exactly the same thing, except we're adding to it. When you observe something, you say, I am thinking about Uncle George's beard. That is a thought I'm having. I'm not my thoughts. If it's a feeling, again, if you don't mind me picking on you, Julia, I'm feeling envious, and be really specific. I'm feeling envious about and towards. That is a feeling. I have feelings. I'm not my feelings. Use your own language. If being really verbose like I just was is unhelpful, find something that works. But you want to acknowledge that you're having a thought, you're having a feeling, or you're having an intuition, which is probably going to be, you know, mine and Ben's experience. Oh, I'm having this random thought that I can't connect to anything. That's an intuition. I'm having an intuition. But then you follow it up with, I'm not that thought. I'm not that feeling. I'm not that intuition.
Yeah.
And at the risk of sounding like a crusty old man, if you're kind of older, in your 30s, 40s and above, this is probably not going to be such a big deal. It might be insightful. It might be interesting. It may not necessarily be a big deal. For people who are younger, this can actually be quite a destabilizing experience, because if you've never considered that you're not your thoughts, you're not your feelings, you're not your hunches, a bit of a space opens up. Well, who am I if I'm not those things? So that can actually be a destabling experience, particularly for younger people. But that's the ask. So again, 10 minutes a day, but we're slowing it down a little bit. So we're not directing it. We're not trying to fix our mind on a certain thing. We're just trying to observe. And as you observe something, there is this thought, but I am not my thoughts. I'm having a feeling, but I'm not my feelings. I'm having an intuition, but I'm not. I have this experience in my body, but I'm not my body. You know, we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have bodies, but we're not those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As much as these things can make sense.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes a day, don't direct it, keep observing it, but we're just acknowledging, I'm having this thought, but I'm not my thoughts. I'm having this feeling, I'm not my feelings. I'm having this intuition, I'm not my intuitions.
Yeah.
Record it and let's see what happens next week.
Brilliant. Sounds good. Okay. Well, on that note, we'll finish today's podcast. Thanks for sharing, guys, and thanks for those listening, and enjoy the new challenge. We're not our thoughts. And we'll see you guys next week on the Subtle Reformation.
Bye-bye.
See ya.